this morning, I'm going to do a lesson for children and for those who still have the heart of children. How many of you remember this song? One hand. The rest of you forgotten? Okay. How many of you remember being in Bible class and singing that song and just, you know, it was so simple. We're going to do that right now. We're going to talk about a man named Zacchaeus today. Now, you have to look at the words of this because this is the way I sing the song. It may not be the way you sing the songs. I remember when I lived in Pekin, Indiana, I sang This Little Light of Mine one time at the first of a vacation Bible study, and two ladies took me aside at the back and said, "That is not how we sing that song." And they taught me how to sing that song, and they said, "You will sing that song this way here." They did it in good nature. It was just funny. But so they may be a little bit different than what you're used to, but let's just try it, all right? If you want to do the hand motions, you can too. All right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree, the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed him by, he looked up in the tree. And he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down from there. For I'm going to your house today. All right, that's very good. Now, Luke chapter 19 is where you'll find that simple but familiar story. We're going to read that story. Luke chapter 19, 10 verses. Luke chapter 19. We're going to talk about this man. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not for the crowd, because he was of short stature. And he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him, and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore to him fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." All right. Well, if anybody, how many of us are gotten too old to enjoy the little story of Zacchaeus? If we have, we've just gotten too old. Like most stories about the Lord, and I do believe most stories about the Lord, it makes a simple point that even children can appreciate. But as adults, I think we make a serious mistake if we suppose that the simple points are only for children. So I want us to look at this story, and then we'll learn a few lessons from it. And that'll be lessons for us for this week. Number one, Jesus was traveling up to Jerusalem. This was the end of his time here. He was about to be arrested and tried. And in chapter 17, he passed through Samaria, and he passed through Galilee. And along the way, he spent some time with some unusual people, like 10 lepers. He spent some time with some children. He spent some time with a rich young ruler. And he spent some time with a blind man at the end of chapter 18. And as he approaches the city of Jericho in chapter 18 and verse 35, there are lots of people around him. Jesus is always surrounded by a multitude of people. He heals a blind man just outside the city. And then he enters into Jericho, and his intention is to pass through that city as he's on his way to Jerusalem. But on the way, something happens. He's surrounded by this crowd, and it says that there's a man there, and his name is Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, let me tell you some things about Zacchaeus. First of all, we learn that his name, and that name Zacchaeus means pure. I don't know if you ever knew that. Can you imagine his parents naming him, probably deliberately, with the name pure? It says what he did as an occupation, or his occupation. He was a chief tax collector. That's the only time in the New Testament that word is used. Chief tax collector. We probably aren't too familiar with that. We know what a chief executive officer is in a corporation. We know what a chief financial officer is. We know what a chief operations director is. Well, he was a chief tax collector, which means he had a pretty important title. He was a pretty important man in the tax system there. And he was rich, it says. And that probably comes with that kind of occupation, at least in part. Probably made money based on the kind of job he did. But what's interesting is he doesn't know Jesus. He's in this city, and it says as Jesus came in, he sought to see who Jesus was. Maybe he never met him before. I would suspect, couldn't prove it, but I would suspect that Jesus had gone through Jericho before. It was kind of a city that was on a major route that ran toward Jerusalem. And Jesus certainly passed from Galilee to Jerusalem at times. But he never didn't know who he was. Maybe he wasn't there in the town when Jesus was there. I'm not sure. But he wants to see Jesus. Verse 3 says, he sought to see who Jesus was. You know, Zacchaeus would not be a person that you might think would follow Jesus. In fact, in the very last chapter, he met another rich man, a rich young ruler. And if you remember, after that particular encounter with him, and Jesus told him what he needed to do, it says in verse 23, when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And Jesus went on to teach a lesson in the next to his disciples, and he said how hard it was for people who are rich to go to heaven. In fact, he says in verse 24 and 25, he said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go to heaven. That's virtually impossible. So, you don't expect great things when you find out that Zacchaeus is rich, if this is the first time you read the story. But he wants to see Jesus, but he can't. There's a problem. He's in this big crowd of people. Maybe Jesus is surrounded and Zacchaeus is kind of mixed up in the crowd and he can't see over everybody. He's short. Maybe he's just shoulder height to these other people, but he can't get up high enough. He's trapped in this crowd. So what do you do? What does he do? Well, first of all, he gets his way out of the crowd and he thinks about where Jesus might be headed. It says in verse 4, he ran ahead, climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Maybe he anticipated. He's probably going this way. He's going to get through this city. So I don't know exactly how he did it. Maybe he got out of the ground. Maybe he went around a back street. Maybe he went up some back alleys. But can you picture this short man, this man of high ranking position, hurrying through the streets, trying to get by the crowd? And he goes further up the street so he can get ahead of everybody. And then he finds a tree and he climbs it. How many of us, this is just a question, probe your innermost being. How many of us would have even thought of doing that? And a deeper question is, if you thought of it, how many of us would have done it? And I'm not talking about the kids. Kids would do that. Because kids climb trees. They have humility. But how many of us adults would have climbed a tree in order to see Jesus? Can you see the headlines in the Boston Globe? Jesus comes to Boston. He's going through Boston. You want to see him, but you can't get to him. You're too short. So you run down the street, and he's coming through the Boston Commons, and you find a tree there, and you climb a tree. And there you are. There's your picture in the Boston Globe tomorrow, the next day. Rich man climbs tree to see Jesus. this man was going to get in a position where he could encounter the Lord if he had to climb a tree. He was willing to sacrifice his pride. Very undignified kind of thing to do for a fella of his nature. So I just want you to notice the determination of this man in this. He sought to see Jesus. He ran to see Jesus. He climbed a tree. Those are verbs of action. They're verbs of determination. And verse 5 says, when Jesus came to the place, I want you to look at verse 5 very carefully. When Jesus came to the place, Zacchaeus looked down and said, "Hey, Jesus, look at here." No, it didn't say that. When Jesus came to the place, it said, the crowd looked up and said, "Hey, look at that guy up in the tree." Nope, didn't say that. It says when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." Jesus knew him. And he looked up and he saw him. He knew he was there. And, you know, if you were some of these other fellows that looked up and you recognized Zacchaeus, you were one of these, this crowd, and they all looked up when Jesus looked up and they saw this guy, they'd say, "Hey, there's that traitor. There's that scandalous publican dog." And Jesus says, "Zacchaeus." He calls him by his personal name. And he says, "Hurry down here. Hurry down, because today I have to go eat at your house. Stay at your house." You know, he never met him, but he knows him. To Jesus, he wasn't a publican. He was a person. And so he goes to his house. And when verse 6 says, now, he made haste, and he came down, and he received him joyfully. You know, he hurried up the tree, and Jesus said, "You need to hurry down the tree." And so he hurries down the tree, and he receives Jesus. And you know, you can imagine maybe why he would do it joyfully. All he was hoping to do was get a view of Jesus. He was just hoping to see him. And instead, Jesus honors this man above everybody else in that multitude that day. He honors Zacchaeus above all of those other people that followed him around. And says, "I'm going to let you be the host for me today. And I'm going to go to your house." And then you would think that there's probably the next scene should be what happens inside the house. You want to see what's going on, what happens when he goes in his house. But that's not the next scene. He wants you to look at the crowd outside. Jesus and Zacchaeus go in. But verse 7, when they saw it, they said, "Wow, what a great guy. Boy, I wish we could go in there too. Wow, isn't Jesus wonderful to go and see that fellow and spend time with him?" Nope, not what they said. Says they all murmured, or maybe your translation said they complained. And they said, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." It's interesting how they don't see themselves in the same light, do they? All these people that follow Jesus around, he is the sinner. We are not. Interesting how we do that, huh? Jesus took a great risk that day when he went into that man's house, didn't he? You ever think about that? He could have very likely lost the favor of some of the Jews who followed him. He more than likely, he absolutely gave ammunition to the Jews who hated him already and were looking for things to accuse him of. And he probably confused his disciples who followed him and were prejudiced just like all the rest of them that were out there in the streets. You know, as a rule, religious people just didn't like the kind of people that Jesus spent time with. And that's a pattern. You can go back early in this book, back to chapter 7, find out when he went to Simon the Pharisee's house. Remember that? And the sinner, the lady from the city came in and washed his feet with her tears, and Simon was just so put out that he would let the sinner touch him. Or you might remember a little bit later on when Jesus went to Matthew's house. He called Matthew. He was a tax collector. He went to Matthew's house, and Matthew invited all of his friends. Guess what kind of friends he invited? Other tax collectors and sinners. And the Pharisees were so put out because he had those, he ate with those kind of people. And then in chapter 15 of Luke, it just doesn't seem like it stopped. When chapter 15 of Luke, it says that in verse 1, then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, and they said, this man receives sinners, and he eats with them. It's kind of a... if you're trying to campaign, he didn't do a good job of picking the kind of people to hang out with. He didn't stay in the right circles, did he? Nobody liked the kind of people Jesus spent time with. Well, inside the house, verse 8. Let's go inside with Jesus and Zacchaeus. What happened that day when he went in his house? Look at verse 8. It says, and Zacchaeus stood up. He stood. This man took a courageous stand, I think. And he says, Lord, look. You know, Lord is the term that is used in the New Testament to describe Jesus as the Lord, as the Christ. So he's kind of making a confession there about his belief in him. And he says, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. So he not only calls Jesus Lord with words, but he is prepared to take action. He dedicates his life to Christ. He makes a pledge. I'm going to start helping people who are in need. And I'm going to return anything that I've stolen. Now somebody might kind of say, I wonder why he only gave half. Why would he say, I'm only going to give half away to the people who are in need? Well, probably because he needed the other half to pay back all the people that he stole from. In fact, the law of Moses said that you had to restore people double the amount that you took. He said, I'm going to give back fourfold. He was going to go above and beyond what was necessary, what the law required, in order to demonstrate his determination to change. What a contrast between this rich man in chapter 19 and the rich young ruler back in chapter 18, who went away sorrowful because he didn't want to lose his riches. Well, it looks like he lost a lot, but what kind of reward did he get for his choice? Verse 9, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. Today salvation has come. There may be a lot of other people that are about to gain a lot from Zacchaeus, from his new generosity, but he gained a greater blessing than any of them at all, because he gained salvation that day. And Jesus even calls him a son of Abraham. You know, I read that Jews who became publicans, the other Jews said that they forfeited their birthright to be called a son of Abraham. But Jesus said this man truly became a son of Abraham in his repentance and acceptance of him. I wonder what really won this man's heart as I read this story this time. I wonder, some people suggest that when Jesus was in his house that day, he preached a sermon to him, taught him a lesson, and then Zacchaeus responded to that. He may have. He probably stayed several hours in his house. Doesn't say anything about that, though. All we know is that Jesus picked this man out who was in a tree, who would have been one of the most despised people in that town, in front of all that multitude, and he went to his house. Jesus showed love for that man. I wonder if that's what won him. All those people standing outside his house criticizing Jesus would have no respect, nothing but disgust for Nicodemus. And yet Jesus did not even care. I said Nicodemus, didn't I? I meant Zacchaeus. But he went into his house anyway. He didn't even mind. Well, that's the story. And he says at the end, the last phrase, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. That kind of resembles some of those statements he had made other times when he got criticized for going into the house of publicans and sinners. He said, that's why I came. I came here for people who need help, people who want help, people who recognize that they are lost. That's why I'm here. I'm not here for all you guys standing out in the street who think you're just fine. I'm here for the people who know they have a need. That's why I came. Well, let's make some applications. Simple lessons. Lessons that are good for us, good for children. Here's our applications. Number one, you can find people looking for Jesus in the most unlikely places. You know, even among the rich, you can find people who really need and want the Lord. We need to keep our eyes open. We need to put down our prejudices, you know, and recognize there are exceptions to the rich young ruler back in chapter 18. Yes, the majority of people that followed Jesus tended to be the simple people, the common people. But there was Zacchaeus, and he recognized he had a need. And so we need to be looking with open eyes for people of all parts of life, in every strata, and not be prejudiced in our choosing or deciding who needs the gospel and who doesn't. Here's a second lesson. That was a simple one here. People want to see Jesus. He wanted to see who Jesus was. People don't need to see us. We've got to somehow get ourselves out of the picture. We don't need to convert them to our church. We don't need to convert them to a set of doctrines. We need to get a gospel out and read to them the story of Jesus. Let them meet Him. Let them meet Him. Let them hear Him. Let them see Him. See what He did. You know, there's something about Jesus that's very attractive. There's some things that are very controversial, yes, but there's some things that are very attractive. This man was attracted to Him. Now, people are going to have to decide what they're going to do with Him. You know, the rich young ruler didn't. He had to make a decision and he went away. But somebody might stay. Zacchaeus stayed. People need to see Jesus. That's why we have a gospel. That's why we need to learn how to read these gospels to people and let them meet Jesus for themselves. Here's the third thing. Is that people who really want to see Jesus will do just about whatever they have to do to get to Him. They'll do anything. Even climb a tree. In this case, the man was too short. Couldn't see over the crowd. So he went and climbed a tree. In another story we could have read today, instead in Mark chapter 2, we could have read about a paralytic who had four guys carrying him on a mat, and they couldn't get him to Jesus because of a big crowd. You know what they did? They went around behind the house, climbed up on the roof, and tore the roof off to get the man down to Jesus. There was another woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years. You know what she did? She left her house, went out into the crowds, pushed her way through the crowds until she could get to him to touch his cloak. His disciples left their nets. They left their fishing. They left their jobs to follow Jesus. People who really want to know the Lord and to see Him, they won't let anything stand in their way. They will get to Jesus if they have to tear the roof off or climb a tree, whatever they have to do. How about us? How badly do we want to see Jesus? How badly do we want to see Him? How badly do we want to know Him? When our faith is dying, there may be some here whose faith is dying. When you're feeling distant from Him, when you're struggling to keep your head above water, how badly do you really want to get back close to Him? Where would you put yourself? 10%? Do you kind of wish that you could be close to Jesus? Is that about as much as we have? 30%? Do we have a guilty feeling? Is that how badly we want to get to Him? 50%? Do we take a stab at it? 70% of effort? Do we make some changes, but temporarily, but not life changes? Or 100%? Do we want to get to Jesus that badly? Or we don't want to get to Him bad enough that we'll tear the roof off? That we'll climb a tree to get to see Him? Do you know churches today will bend over backwards to remove barriers so that people can get to Jesus? They'll make special parking lot spaces out there for visitors. They'll rope off special pews in the building so that they can reserve them for visitors. They'll select contemporary music
so that people will come to hear about Jesus. They'll preach, they'll modify their preaching so that it's really short, quick sermons with kind of lots of anecdotes and cute stories in them so people will come and hear Jesus. They'll have their prayers shortened. They'll make sure people say short prayers. They'll make sure there's no lulls in their service so that everything happens like clockwork so nobody gets bored. They'll put restaurants in church buildings. They'll put gym classes in it. They'll have daycare for the kids. They'll have kids' church. They'll do all kinds of things to remove the obstacles for people. You know what? Jesus didn't remove the obstacles. He would not sympathize at all, I think, with that. Because people who really wanted to see Him and to know Him, they'd do whatever they had to do to get to Jesus. We need to remember that. There are going to be obstacles. There are going to be obstacles. But that's a way that tests our determination. And I think God allows those obstacles to stay so that He can see who really wants to know Him and who doesn't. And then the last one is, what Jesus offered Zacchaeus is what we can offer, and that is salvation in Jesus. The freedom from guilt. A clear conscience. Do you know how wonderful that is to have? I'm sure that any of us who are Christians knows that that is a marvelous gift. A clear conscience. People who have a guilty conscience a lot of times try other things to medicate it, to make themselves feel better. But they're all temporary. They don't really work. We need to tell them about what they can find in Jesus. And you know what? That is a powerful thing. It is something that you cannot find in this world. You cannot find absolute forgiveness. And that's a powerful message. We don't need to offer anybody anything other than that. We need to offer them exactly what Jesus offered Zacchaeus. You can have salvation. You can have freedom from your sins. A clear conscience, a clean slate. That's a marvelous message. Did I say that was my last point? Mm-hmm. Sorry, that was not very strategic. Right? One more. People won't care what we know until they know that we care. Jesus went to His house. And He devoted time to that man. And he was on his way to be crucified. He had a big thing, a lot on his mind. And he took time and went to that man's house and spent the day with him. Can you imagine the crowd for just a second standing outside Zacchaeus' house? Maybe for hours. You know, imagine how irritated they were. They had to stand out there and wait because they didn't get invited in. Stand around and wait out there till he finally came back out. You know what that said to Zacchaeus, if anything? Is he said, you're really important to me. Those guys out there, they can wait. But you are important to me. And he took time with him. You know, Jesus went where people lived, and he showed interest in them as a person. To him, Zacchaeus wasn't a publican. He wasn't a drug addict or an alcoholic or a prostitute. He was a person. People today, sometimes today it's very inconvenient to have people into our house. Or to go over to somebody else's house to spend time with them, to help them out. It's easier to talk to them at work. You know, they got a religious question. Just kind of answer it like that. It takes a little bit more effort to say, you know what, that is a great question. Let me think about that. Why don't you come over to our house on Friday night, and I'll fix dinner, and we can talk about that. And open the door for an opportunity to study the Bible with those people, to show them Jesus. Somebody said that, and I think they're right, they said a popular phrase, maybe up here, I hadn't heard it until I came up here, is that fences make good neighbors. You ever heard that? It means that we're a closed society. We don't like to be bothered. We don't like people to bother us. We stay on our side of the fence, you stay on your side of the fence, and that's a good thing. Aren't you glad God didn't stay on His side of the fence? Aren't you glad that He left His comfortable abode, Jesus, where He was in his Father's house? It was pristine and clean and free from any kind of uncomfortable things and things that were immoral. And He left that place and He came here to be with us, to help us out. We're going to have to do the same thing if we're going to get His approval, if we're going to help other people. We love God because He inconvenienced Himself in the worst way, came to our neighborhood, and brought us the good news. People will not want to know what you, won't care what you know until they know that you care about them. And Jesus had a way of doing that. So we need to walk in His steps. And we need to, if we want Him to recognize us as His disciples, we're going to have to be disciples like Jesus taught those people to be in the first century. And if you go through Acts, those people understood what that meant. Zacchaeus may be a wee little man in our song, but in God's eyes, he was a man with a great faith that was worthy of recording in the records of eternal life. Today, the Son of Man, he said, has come to seek and save that which was lost. Same today as he did then. If you are lost, then Jesus cares. And if you are seeking Jesus, the question is, how badly do you want to find him? And what are you willing to do? Are you willing to trust him? Are you willing to put your faith in him? Are you willing to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? Are you willing to repent of your sins, to give away half your possessions and restore fourfold as to those who you've wronged? Are you willing to let him save you and as he did Zacchaeus that day? If you are, then why don't you let that be known by coming forward while we stand, while we sing.